Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
That you evangelize the unsaved, you edify the believer, you equip soldiers, and the result was a committed army of Christ. And over the next number of years, you find the gospel spreading in a greater and greater way.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
In Acts 14, it gives to us a mission mandate that you will find all through Scripture, but it's condensed in Acts 14, verse 21 through 27 and 28. And there in verse 27, you see as they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and now He had opened the door of faith. Faith began going to all nations, as Romans 1 states. Now, let me lay this out for you, because just as it was the same template that was set, here you find in the Bible. And so, very simply, the early church had an unusual measure of growth. But I think the Bible gives the church a fourfold strategy for its missionary mandate as it is throughout the world, and I believe it starts right here. And I want to walk through this very quickly with you. It's probably a review for some, but I think it's important. Now, before I can do that, let me give you a little context. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 13. Let me give you what this setting is, and the context is the early church. And the early church started in Jerusalem through great persecution. The gospel spread throughout the whole known world, and it primarily started with a man named Paul, used to be Saul. He traveled more the known world than anyone that's recorded, at least that we have, in any kind of history. And it's amazing to me that you'll find it starting in Acts 13 after Barnabas and Saul had returned from Jerusalem, and here they are meeting now in Antioch. In Antioch, there were a number of people, there were prophets and teachers, it says in Acts 13, verse 1. There were Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen and then Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, started this journey, and over chapter 13 into chapter 14, they visited seven different particular towns and villages. You went to one town here, another town there. They turned around and came back through these same seven towns and ended up going then back to Antioch. Acts 15, they come down here, have a big Jerusalem council, and then from Acts 16, 17 on through the rest of Acts, you find a second missionary journey, a third missionary journey, and then because of all of his frequent flyer miles, he got to go to Rome, one-way ticket, and he never came back. That's what you have as the book of Acts. That's a little context of this. Now you say, Pastor, what's the big deal? The way that this happened right here, this is, I believe, the simple strategy that God laid out for how the gospel will reach countries, and why we as a church follow through with this same strategy. Now, what is that? Let me give it to you. It's look at Acts chapter 14. I'm going to go fairly simply, but it moves forward. It's right straight out of the text, verse 21, chapter 14. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. They had been at Derbe. Now they turned around and went back again through these towns right here. And what were they doing? They were confirming the souls of the disciples. They came back through. They were exhorting them to continue in the faith. So then they ordained them elders in every church. They prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Then they went on down through these other towns. They preached the word continually, that the grace would be of God for the work which they fulfilled. They did everything that God told them to do. Then they went back, then they rehearsed everything that happened. Now, what is that saying to us? What is that context saying to us? I think it's saying this. Number one, notice, they evangelized the unsaved. That's what it says in verse 21. They preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. And so they're evangelizing the unsaved. Number two, in addition to that, it says in verse 22, they were confirming the souls of the saints. In other words, they were, as the strategy is, they were perfecting of those Christians. They were maturing them. They were confirming. Con mean with. Firmness. They were coming along and with God's word, firming up their beliefs. Understanding that, number three, in the end of verse 22, they were exhorting them to continue in the faith. The word exhort means to come alongside of. They were equipping them. And the strategy was to prepare them for service. You say, well, what happened during this preparation time? Remember Acts 13? They had a godly men, Acts 13, verse 2. They were godly men. They were godly in their exercise. They prayed. They fasted. And I don't want to miss this. And can I highlight this for a moment here? Thirdly, there was a godly support. Do you remember in Acts 13, 3? They said, and they sent them. What do we mean by that? Here you have a group of men, they were in a godly exercise, praying and fasting as a church in Antioch, and then they said, let's separate these two, Paul and Barnabas, and let them go and take the gospel out. So for a year and a half, they're gone. Now, when they sent them out, what did they do? They walked down to the docks and, hey, get on the boat. Hey, see you guys. Hey, have a good time, okay? Well, the fact is, the church in Antioch was supporting them. It's the same term as equipping them with support. Someone had to help them along the way to help them with their basic necessities of eating, transportation, taking care of themselves. Now, later in Paul, the second missionary journey, Paul did a lot of that. He was a tent maker. He was a businessman. And he worked his way through because he didn't want to end up having people say, yeah, you're just using us. So he worked. But on this first missionary journey, someone had to pay the bills and take care of them. And so the Antioch church helped them along the way, sent them through this year and a half trip. You think that took some money? Absolutely. And on that concept, that's why later on, years later, Paul wrote to the people at Philippi, a church now established, as it was with the church in Antioch, sending out these Paul and Barnabas. Now, stay with me. It's important. Because if you miss this, here's what happens. I've seen many times well-meaning people. They got saved. And whoever comes along and catches their ear will, I'm going to give you some money to help you along the way. And pretty soon you find people, well-meaning, sincere, giving their monies to all kinds of world organizations and all kinds of agencies and all kinds of individuals and people. And the church, as you would see through the Bible, is totally missed. Well-meaning, sincere, but totally missed what God's real primary and pipeline is for. You cannot read through the scriptures without understanding that the primary ways of giving has always been through a local church. You can't help but seeing it. You say, well, man, Pastor, there's some agencies out there, organizations out there. Are those, like, wrong? I don't think they're wrong. I don't think they're unbiblical. But if it's an organization to help coordinate churches to maximize their giving, we have some mission boards that we send money to, and they help organize the giving then onto missionaries, but the money's going straight into the hands of missionaries, no problem. But boy, you better be careful where that money's going. Because you find the pattern here that these men were sent. Philippians 4, because here's Paul who is saying to the people of Philippi, to the church, now you Philippians, chapter 4, 15, you know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you were the only one that was supporting me, he said. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessities. You kept sending money to me, catching up to me, and helping me meet my needs. Not because I desired a gift, But I desired fruit that it may abound to your account. You know why I'm encouraging you people of Philippi to give? Because it's going to be fruit to your account someday. Thank you for giving to me. 2 Corinthians 8, you see the same pattern that they gave out of their scarcity, out of their poverty they gave. Is it biblical for us as a church to annually look at and see, okay, these people are out on the field. These are people that are wanting to go out onto these fields around the world. And for us to prayerfully consider, okay, let's support these people. And then take monies and monthly give to them. Absolutely. Is it biblical for us to say maybe once a year or so we find people with a particular immediate need, a vehicle or some major thing that happened at their home, that we help them? Yes. Is on top of that, as Paul later on began developing faithful men in Timothy's and others and having them go back into their areas. Yeah, absolutely. That's the pattern. That's why we do what we do. And I want to encourage you, you prayerfully consider, God, this is what I'm giving above and beyond your normal giving. Our support of our missionaries is above and beyond our normal giving. We set aside what we call faith missions giving. And so above and beyond that, you prayerfully consider over the next year, what does God want you to give on a monthly basis? This is not a pledge. It's not someone's going to come and check up on you, but between you and God, saying, God, I want to do this. That's how we support missions. And without that, we couldn't support other missionaries. That's the process that we take. I commend you, for many of you, that on a regular, faithful basis, you give towards this. And it's the same pattern you find in the New Testament. Because ultimately, here's what happens as we close. When that takes place, and here's what happened to Paul, that you evangelize the unsaved, you edify the believer, you equip soldiers, and the result was a committed army of Christ. The result was a committed army of Christ. And over the next number of years, you find the gospel spreading in a greater and greater way. And when that takes place, then ultimately then, what's result of that is in Acts 14:23. Look at your Bible. Here's what it concludes with, that they ordained elders in every church, ecclesia, the called out ones. And the strategy was ultimately then, you're planting local churches, which is what Ephesians 1 identifies in that particular area. You end up finding that this particular area here is moved forward, and the result was the continued growth of Christians. You say, Pastor, that's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. You're right. Some of you, that was review. Question is, are you seeing that happen? Are you seeing that happen in your own life? You say, well, okay, that's great for a church. I'm going to tell you something. It's the same way it is for you as an individual. You know your responsibility? Be a lighthouse witness in your town, in your village, in your home, in your work, in your neighborhood. Hey, you want to be able to evangelize the unsaved. You want to be able to see converts. God, give me one. And Lord, as they end up coming to you, I want to come alongside them. I want to confirm the souls of the saint. And I want to end up as an individual, being a soldier myself, I want to grow and mature. And ultimately then, our churches are established and more churches are established.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.